Good morning, friends. I am happy for the privilege of once again coming your way by means of radio. To begin with, I want you to consider this scripture in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, going on down in this chapter, it mentions a time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. And even more things than this is mentioned, but I am especially concerned about the fact that there is a time for these things. Some folks take time for many things which are not nearly as important as one thing which everyone should take time for. Now listen to this verse from the second chapter of Revelations, verse 21. And I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. This is one thing of vital importance to everyone. The Lord gives space and time for folks to repent. Yet some folks try to fool themselves, apparently, that they don't need any repentance. But let me tell you something. If you are living in sin and doing things that are wrong, you need to repent of it. Psalms 7:11 says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. But there's one thing sure. Folks are not fooling the Lord. Do you remember the account of Elisha's servant Gehazi? Well, there was a time when Naaman, who had the leprosy, came to Elisha for healing. This is the time that Elisha sent a messenger and told Naaman to go dip in the river Jordan 7 times. Well, Naaman became very angry and thought there was no need for him to waste his time to go down to the Jordan River to dip. In fact, he was disappointed, I believe, because Elisha didn't come out to see him. And he was about ready to leave in a rage, but one of the servants said, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? So the account goes that Naaman did dip in the river and his leprosy was cured. But when he came back to show his appreciation and to make some kind of contribution to Elisha, Elisha refused to take anything from him. Even though Naaman urged him to take some clothing or silver or some of his other possessions, he wouldn't take a thing. But the thought that I want to get across to you is that Gehazi, Elisha's servant, just thought, now this is a good opportunity and I'm going to get something off of that fella. So he secretly slipped out of the house and ran to catch up with Naaman after he had gone down the road a ways. And he told Naaman that there had been a couple of young men of the sons of the prophets come to his master's house, and he claimed that Elisha had sent him to get a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. Well, Naaman was just delighted to give him something, so he gave him 2 talents of silver and some clothing. And after Gehazi had slipped these things into the house, he came back to the room where Elisha was. And Elisha said, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Then Gehazi told him, thy servant went no whither, or in other words, I haven't been anywhere. Do you suppose he thought he was fooling Elisha, a man of God? Well, if he thought that, he was sadly mistaken, because Elisha wasn't being fooled. Here's what Elisha told him. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Now, friends, even though people have broken God's laws, and they have disregarded his will, and they have closed their eyes and hearts to his warnings, many, many times the Lord gives them a space for repentance. The third chapter of 2 Peter speaks about folks who shall come in the last days that will be scoffers. They walk after their own lusts and say, where is the promise of his coming? Or in other words, they just act like God doesn't see or know anything they are doing. So they can just do what they please and get away with it. This is the way they seem to feel. Well, it is true that God is long-suffering, and he is not willing that any should perish, because he wants them to come to repentance. But let me remind you of this. This faith of repentance is limited. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. God's Spirit is not going to always strive with men, neither is the door of mercy going to be open forever. When that time comes, all hope will be gone, and there will be no more opportunity to be saved. Some folks are going to be like the foolish virgins, I fear. After the bridegroom came, they sought from their friends all to go in their lamps, but it was too late. It does something to a person when they refuse God's mercy. For one thing, their heart becomes hardened, and it makes future repentance much less likely. Another thing, it increases their guilt because they know they should turn from their wrong and they will not do it. Furthermore, it grieves the Spirit of God and brings them nearer to the time when God will quit dealing with them. It is written of Esau that he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. Then he sought favor from Abraham, and he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus and dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue. But it was too late. He had gone beyond the point of return. There was a great gulf fixed between them. Neither could cross to the other. He had waited too long. Listen to this. The four calls. The Spirit came in childhood and pleaded, let me in. But oh, the door was bolted by thoughtlessness and sin. I am too young, the child replied. I will not yield today. There's time enough tomorrow. The Spirit went away. Again he came and pleaded in youth, bright, happy hour. He came, but heard no answer. For lured by Satan's power, the youth lay dreaming then and saying, not today, nor till I've tried earth's pleasures. The Spirit went away. Again he called in mercy in manhood's vigorous prime, but still he found no welcome. The merchant had no time, no time for true repentance, no time to think or pray. And so, repulsed and saddened, the Spirit went away. Once more he called and waited. The man was old and ill. He scarcely heard the whisper. His heart was cold and still. Go, leave me. When I need thee, I'll call for thee, he cried. Then, sinking on his pillow, without a hope, he died. Friends, should this message reach someone with whom God is dealing, it is my sincere hope that you may give heed and turn to the Lord before it is too late. Perhaps you've said no to the Spirit of the Lord over and over again. Are you willing for God to accept the no which you have said? Are you willing for the Spirit to leave you and never come to you again? Many folks have already settled their destiny, even in life. If you say no to God today, who of us can tell whether or not the Spirit of the Lord may ever deal with your heart again? We don't know what tomorrow holds. Uncertainty is there in the future, and especially is this true for one who is separated from God. Would you be willing to meet the Lord in your sins? Jesus said, if you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come. Let me tell you what you should do. Find a time and a place for repentance. Do it now, for surely now is the accepted time. There's no promise for any time but now. Let us pray. Oh Lord, bless each listener of the broadcast. It may even reach to some unsaved person who is near the edge of eternity. Cause them to have a willing heart to repent and make good use of the space which God has given them for that purpose. And to thee we will give the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, friends, for listening. Do tune in again next week at this same time. And if we may be a further help to you, please let us know. You could do so by writing The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Here is a song, Who Shall Abide in Thy Tabernacle? The singers are Lynn Carver, Arnett Carver, Troy Gentry, and Edgar Martins.
Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, he that walketh uprightly, he that walketh uprightly, never shall be moved. He that walketh uprightly, never, never shall be moved. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in my holy hill? He that doeth no evil, he that doeth no evil, he that doeth no evil, never shall be moved. He that doeth no evil, never, never shall be moved. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy feareth his maker, he that feareth his maker, he that feareth his maker, never shall be moved. He that feareth his maker.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be with each of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.